All right, everyone. Welcome to the show. Reba McEntire is going to be at the Queue on February 4th, 2022. Tickets are sold out. They sold out in like over the weekend. Done. Your chance is gone, except for your opportunity to win. We have several pairs that we will be giving away. You can register for those by going to KSGF.com or the KSGF app. In addition to that, we are doing our Springfield's Talk 104 $1,000 cash payout every day, Monday through Friday, numerous times a day, giving out keywords for you to text. Excuse me. Oh. Boy, I just tripped over myself there. That was rough stuff. I did not enjoy that at all. I really felt like I was on a roll, too. I had a rhythm going.
Isn't that the worst?
It's like I was roller skating. I was like, you know, I was car hopping, Sonic, roller skating, doing all sorts of tricks. I mean,
they don't do that anymore, do they?
And then I just fell, and slushies went all inside the car. I did see it recently, actually.
Oh.
Do you know what? And I think that this is kind of cool. Roller skates are coming back. It's moved away from the roller blades. I saw a girl, I think it was at Maple Leaf Festival in Carthage, and she was just, you know, out and about, and she had good old-fashioned roller skates on. I kind of like that. Nostalgia.
I'll never
But yeah, skate. I do think some do. Although I'm surprised. Have you never roller skated?
Well, I have like a middle school horror story.
Oh.
I went to like the skate park here in Springfield. Mm-hmm. I think it's closed since then. And it was like, I don't know, like fifth grade, somewhere in there. And I went roller skating for one of my friend's birthdays. And I didn't know how to skate. So we were all like holding hands and doing this stuff. And anyways, we kind of like went off on our own. And one of my friends was skating around us and broke her arm in front of us. And it wasn't like a clean break. It was a bad one. Like, oh, it's bad. And I'll never do it again.
I like how that in that scenario, you're the one who seems to suffer the most.
Well, no. I mean, it was scary.
I guess. Did you just skate away?
I couldn't. I didn't know how. No.
That made it worse. You were trapped there. Yes. All right. Well, back on track here. So 7-Eleven every morning, I give out times. And you tune in to listen to those times. You get a keyword. You text it in. That registers you for $1,000. Every time is a different keyword because every keyword is a separate $1,000 giveaway. All right, it is 8:07. That's a couple minutes after, but this is one of the times. So here's the word that you text to our line, which is 417-447-KSGF. And it is win7, W-I-N, and the number 7. And by the way, there's no spaces. I noticed yesterday we had a lot of people texting, and there were a couple in which there was a number involved, a couple of people who had a space between the two. So I want to specify that there is no space between the word win and the number 7. So text WIN7 to 417-447-KSGF. All right. And then you'll know you were successful. You'll get a message back telling you that you were ready. You know, you'll get some sort of bounce back message that also invites you to download the app if you haven't done that yet. And once you do that, then you don't have to remember the text line because there's just a button that says text in. So right now the keyword is win7, W-I-N-7, no spaces. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. The First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. It is going to eventually clear out today and leave us with a high of 74. Clear 54 tonight, slight chance of showers, thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon with a high of 74. And Thursday, sunny 64. It is 50 right now. Donald Trump suing National Archives to keep records private. We'll talk a bit about that. And this is the same sort of rhetoric that we see from the left. Anything that Trump does that has been done by Democrats, it's okay for Democrats, but it is the ultimate sin by Donald Trump. And not just Trump. In fact, this commission on the January 6th little gathering that took place. And they're subpoenaing some people that believe that they do not have to testify, and so they're arguing they don't have to. And Joe Biden, who once upon a time promised that he would not ask the Justice Department to go after people, has gone back on that promise and said he hopes that they prosecute these individuals because they refused to testify. There were numerous occasions in which the Obama administration fought subpoenas or blocked officials from testifying before Congress. And of course, he was allowed to do that because it was just Republicans playing politics. But now that Democrats are doing it, they're going so far as to say, throw them in jail if they don't show up. See how dishonest these people are? Totally and completely immoral, unethical, dishonest. And there should not be a single story regarding the issue of subpoenas and individuals that are saying they may not show up without referencing the fact that almost a dozen different occasions the Obama administration blocked his people from testifying when they were subpoenaed. But of course, you're not going to get that with the media. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Donald Trump sues National Archives to keep records private. All right, let's approach this from a reasonable perspective, shall we? Former President Donald Trump filed a lawsuit Monday against the National Archives to keep his records private, citing executive privilege. Now, the issue of executive privilege, if you listen to the tone of media and Democrats, is something that Trump invented. So you can't executive. What is this executive? You can't just use executive privilege. See, executive privilege is only something Democrats are allowed to use. They're allowed to use it because they are good and Republicans are bad. And anytime Republicans want information released that is part of the executive, it's for mean, partisan reasons, political. And the Democrat president who is asserting executive privilege, he is doing so in order to protect the integrity of the executive branch and all that it represents. Now, if Democrats want information released from a Republican administration, it's because they are pure as the driven snow and they simply want to get to the truth. And of course, the president who asserts executive privilege is clearly corrupt and hiding something. See how it works? So the former president and his team of attorneys are arguing that the Congressional Select Committee investigating the January 6th event on Capitol Hill should not have access to the records. The president's letter wrote, by the way, this is a legal argument. This is a legal discussion. This is how these things are to play out. This is not Trump refusing to comply and endangering the republic as we know it. This is nothing new to occur in which a president asserts executive privilege. The attorneys wrote, the committee's request amounts to nothing less than a vexatious, illegal fishing expedition openly endorsed by Biden and designed to unconstitutionally investigate President Trump and his administration. They called the investigation an egregious action against a former president. The committee has made broad, sweeping requests of President Trump's records as part of the investigation in an attempt to get as much detail as possible about his actions leading up to the rally and his response to the violence, which the FBI has said did not happen. The FBI in their investigation has said that Trump did not cause an insurrection, that Trump was not conspiring and coordinating with people in order to try to overthrow the government of the United States. But that doesn't matter to these people. That's not their goal. Their goal is to just dig and find anything they can to make it look like it's bad. See, they win either way with the media. Because they can just find, oh, that he said anything kind about a Trump supporter who happened to be at the rally. Or if he said anything at all that made it sound like he supported people who wanted integrity in elections, they can use that against him. Or if he says, no, this is not information that the legislative branch has access to, then they can accuse him of covering things up. This is what these people do with their time. The lawsuit sets up, according to Breitbart, a legal conflict that could drag out the investigation surrounding Trump's participation in the Stop the Steal rally before his supporters hit Capitol Hill to protest the certification of the 2020 election in Congress. Trump and his attorneys issued a memo to reporters after filing the lawsuit, noting an incumbent administration does not have the constitutional authority to unilaterally waive the executive privilege of a previous administration, especially one so recent. If it did, then executive privilege doesn't even exist, including for Joe Biden. So in other words, they're saying, and there's truth to this, a president cannot come in and then waive executive privilege for a previous administration. Noting that it, and I'm just repeating what they wrote, but it bears repeating here, that if that's the case, then executive privilege is moot. It's irrelevant. Because whomever comes in after Biden, if they want, oh, I waive every executive privilege. Hey, anything you want to see from the Biden administration is absolutely yours. You can have any of his writings, any of his communications. So it's moot. It's irrelevant. The legal team arguing that a future president could use the legal precedent to release Biden's documents to Congress, including documents related to his son Hunter Biden, his administration's disastrous exit from Afghanistan, and his administration's communication surrounding big tech companies. You see, this is not for the left. It's not for the Democrats about the institution of the presidency. It's about get Trump at all cost. And because that executive privilege was something that is applicable to his time, they don't see it as executive privilege to the executive. They see it as something that Trump is trying to use, therefore it's irrelevant. Now, I'm not going to go through the details of all of these instances. We'll post it up so you can comb through it yourself. But dovetailing with this is Joe Biden's assertion that the Justice Department, which he in the past promised he would never try and influence, and now he's out there publicly saying they need to put people in jail who don't comply with the subpoenas. The President of the United States is declaring that U.S. citizens that argue legally they may not need or be required to testify or to comply with a subpoena put out by a political committee, that they should be hauled off to jail. This is Soviet Union era stuff. A PJ Media has a listing of 9 separate times that the Obama administration fought subpoenas or fully blocked officials from testifying before Congress. One of them involves subpoenas for the new Black Panther Party voter intimidation investigation. Many of you will remember this. These were when Black Panther Party members dressed in these military-style fatigues with weapons stood outside polling places during Obama's first run for the presidency. Clear. You want to talk about voter intimidation. So the Bush administration got the ball rolling on the investigation. And then the Obama administration, the case got carried over, won the case by default because those who were accused of the voter intimidation just didn't even bother to show up to participate in the hearings. But then the Obama administration dismissed the charges. It led to the resignation of one of those involved because it was so patently unethical and immoral. There was an investigation launched. The Obama administration fought it rigorously. It was stonewalled. Subpoenas were fought. Key players were told not to testify. There was a refusal to let the White House social secretary testify on party crasher scandal. This was where people, they were reality TV people, and they were able to get into the White House. Refusal to provide subpoenas and Solyndra documents. Justice Kagan's Obamacare conflict of interest, refusing to comply with investigations and subpoenas there. White House refusing to allow political director to testify at one point. Treasury officials were blocked by Obama from testifying on Obamacare subsidies. Ben Rhodes was blocked from testifying on the Iran nuclear deal. Lois Lerner. This was after it was discovered that the IRS was targeting conservatives. She flat out refused to testify and comply with the congressional investigation on the IRS hearings. Eric Holder refused to provide subpoenaed Fast and Furious documents. That's the attorney general. He's supposed to be the top law enforcement officer in the country. So as you see, while Democrats are squalling and you've got Joe Biden saying that people who disagree with, who argue they shouldn't have to and refuse to show up for subpoenaed testimony should be thrown in jail, he was part of an administration that did it over and over and over and over and over again. And there, if there was any honest journalist that writes up any story regarding this entire situation and the Democrats caterwauling about refusal to comply, any honest journalist would note that the previous administration refused to comply on no less than 9 separate occasions. An administration that included Joe Biden. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Don Carricker, I want a greathomeloan.com. Oh, sometimes you hear these different companies that, you know, oh, it's just going to be as fast as can be, and you don't even have to deal with anyone. Well, let me tell you something. You want somebody handling this for you, somebody who knows you, somebody that you can talk to face-to-face, somebody that you can call and talk to at 8:30 at night, and if they don't answer, they'll get back with you at 8:45 or on the weekends. You essentially want what it is that the wealthiest amongst us get, and these are personal assistant-style individuals that are personalizing the experience. They are taking care of you. You're a person. You're not just an account number, and that's what Don Carricker does. And the process he has set up helps facilitate that with iwantagreathomeloan.com. You enter some information, and somebody from Don's team we'll get back with you and talk to you about what other information may be needed. And then I'm going to let you know what all possibilities there are. And perhaps, and let me tell you what they don't do. They don't just go, all right, well, we plugged in the numbers. Here it is. That's it. Take it or leave it, which is what you get from a lot of companies. Maybe if you paid $100 on a credit card, that's going to bring your credit score up and help the rates drop. These are the things they look into. What can you do? What can they help you do in order to better your options? That's what you get with Don Carricker and iwantagreathomeloan.com because you do. First Alert forecast sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service. Clouds clearing out today, a high of 74. Clear tonight, 54 low for a low. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon with a high of 74. Sunny, 64 on Thursday. There is an article about an Oberlin College student who was angry, scared after cisgender men installed radiators in the dorms, which are supposed to be a safe space. Now, first, let's identify cisgender. Cisgender are people who recognize science. Cisgender references a person who identifies with what they were born as. So you're born a boy and you choose to identify as that. You are a cisgender, okay? Most of you would count as cisgender. So here's the story from Fox News. A student at Oberlin College in Ohio described being scared and angry after the school announced a work crew would be installing radiators in a safe space dormitory for women and trans students, explaining the crew would likely be cisgender men. The student, Peter Frey Witzer, wrote in an op-ed published in the college newspaper on Friday, quote, "I was angry, scared, and confused. Why didn't the college complete the installation over the summer when the building was empty? Why couldn't they tell us precisely when the workers would be there? Why were they only notifying us the day before the installation was due to begin?" The student said he grew concerned because he had not heard of the installation plans before a school email was sent out on October 7th. He explained that the crew would likely be cisgender men entering Baldwin Cottage, which is home to a safe space for women and transgender persons. Quote, "In general, I'm very adverse to people entering my personal space. This anxiety was compounded by the fact the crew would be strangers, and they were more than likely to be cisgender men." The work crew eventually showed up at the dorm, and Frey Witzer described what he saw as, quote, "immediately they were all men. It was clear the college had not made a special request that male workers not be allowed onto the upper floors of Baldwin." Frey Witzer asked a representative of the college, who he called Polo Man because he was wearing a neat polo, who accompanied the crew, if he could reject getting the radiator installed. The college emissary apparently said no, and the student left for class to allow the work crew to make the dorm improvement. "By the time I came back, they appeared to be done, though Polo Man warned me that they would return later in the week to check the installation. Sure enough, they were back the next day. I felt mildly violated and a little peeved." Now, of course, there's two components to this. One is the obvious, and that is the absolute total destruction of a segment of our society. We have cultivated a personality within a segment of the society that makes them completely vulnerable to anything and everything that they are not comfortable with. We have destroyed anything about them that gives them any sort of strength, any sort of self-confidence. I don't see that as a win. I don't care what you classify yourself as. Trans, woman, non-cisgender, whatever other words that are made up. Any culture, any system that develops people into young adults that cannot interact with other people that are different with them without being, quote, triggered, without panicking, without fearing, has been done a tremendous disservice and most likely destroyed their entire potential for strength and happiness as an independent human being. But there's a second component to this. We need to start calling these people out. Not because of the absurdity, but because they're bigots. I mean, think about what this individual is saying. Specifically about, quote, cisgender men. Turn this around in any other capacity. Can you imagine what would happen if an editorial were written because a university allowed a bunch of black people in to make an installment, and that was triggering, and that they should have done it during the summertime so the white people didn't have to be triggered and interact with the black people? We'd all recognize that as bigotry, would we not? It is no less a bigoted position to be a transgender person and have that same perspective about people that are men, that are cisgender men, to have a problem with all of them, to not want to have to deal with them, to demand that they come in the back door, to demand that if those type of people are going to be used, you give us fair warning or do it during the summer so we don't have to be around them. Bigots. That is bigotry. And these different groups and organizations that mask their bigotry in the so-called safe spaces need to start getting called out by this. I mean, it is beyond absurd. And the breeding ground for this bigotry are our university systems that tell one segment of the population that it's perfectly fine and good to be so bigoted against another segment of the population that they will create a safe space, suggesting that this other segment of the population is somehow dirty or dangerous or beneath them. Again, this isn't a new concept. This is something that has been around since the beginning of time, when there were certain people who felt that they should not have to associate with other people, that other people are offensive to them or frightening. It's called bigotry. And masking it as some sort of safe space does not make it any less bigoted. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Got these Haitian gangs have kidnapped a number of Christian ministry folks, Americans, in Haiti. The State Department is working on it. Oh, I don't know about you, but after the way the Biden administration has treated hostages in Afghanistan, I don't think I would feel very confident as a hostage in Haiti. And how many of these folks you think will end up dead? New January 6th surveillance footage further calls into question the entire January 6th narrative. The government has done everything they can to not have to release this footage. As you know, Nancy Pelosi made sure that footage was released of law enforcement trying to get Mike Pence out of there and Mitt Romney out of there. Now, they weren't really being chased down by anyone, but it looked very, very dramatic. And so there was a call to release all the footage, and they said no. Well, a judge has said, you can't do that. Look, listen, if you're releasing some of the footage, you can't then claim that other footage is a national security issue, which is what they're trying to claim, that it could really do a great deal of harm to security and security protocol and so forth. Well, what we've seen so far, and there's another batch that's been released, is law enforcement ushering in Trump supporters into the Capitol. The latest footage shows double doors. They're being open. Law enforcement, they're sitting there chatting with each other. In some instances, they're chatting with these Trump supporters, and they're just kind of wandering in. It is a far cry from storming the castle. And while there are people who committed acts of vandalism and illegally trespassed into areas that they knew they weren't supposed to be, and they should be held accountable, the problem is the media encompasses every single person that was there into that narrative. They make it sound as if it was a massive riot of people that stormed the castle, when the vast majority of these people we see through footage that they have tried not to get released, and we now know why, they went in because law enforcement was having them come in. Of course, the question is, why would they do that? I believe that's what the Democrats don't want the videos released, because they don't want people asking those questions. Because I believe in all likelihood, the answer has got to be one of two things. Either they are going to say, we were told to let them in, or they were going to say, well, because they didn't appear to be a threat, which runs against the entire narrative that these people were a bunch of bloodthirsty Trump supporters that were looking for blood. I don't know of any other explanation law enforcement, other than those two things, could provide for why they sat there chatting. Some officers taking selfies with these individuals, like they were tourists. Post-presidency, Donald Trump continues to prove that he was right about certain issues that the experts mocked him for. And the latest is the NYC Commission's vote to remove Thomas Jefferson's statue from city council. Trump said that this would happen. Back in August of 2017, when the entire discussion was happening about removing the Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson monuments, statues, Trump at the time said, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, this was in a New York Times piece. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, the president noted, were also slave owners. Quote, I wonder, is it George Washington next week, Mr. Trump said? And is it Thomas Jefferson the week after that? You know, you really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop? So Trump was noting, back in 2017, with this Taliban-style effort to remove monuments and to rewrite history, that they will not stop at that. They will come for George Washington. They will come for Thomas Jefferson. And, of course, Trump was ridiculed for making this claim. The New York Times, in order to counter Trump's assertion, brought in academic historians to scoff at the warning. Yale history professor John Fabian Witt said the Times, quote, called Mr. Trump's warning of a slippery slope a red herring. Going on to say, there have been, after all, no calls to tear down the Washington Monument. The Times also invoked Annette Gordon Reed, a professor of history and law at Harvard, who is credited with breaking down the wall of resistance among historians to the idea that Jefferson had a sexual relationship with Sally Hemings. Gordon Reed said that the answer to Trump's hypothetical question about whether getting rid of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson also meant junking Washington and Jefferson was a simple no. So, it is amazing how many times Donald Trump made a claim and the creme de la creme of academia, the experts that were top of their field, were brought out in order to say Trump doesn't know what he's talking about, he's just trying to rile people up, he's some sort of idiot, and he turned out to be the one right, and here's another example of it. And let me tell you, here's the follow-up lesson. The very people, anytime you have, and it's not just Trump, but if you Trump or someone else that says, listen, they're doing this now, here's what they'll do tomorrow. The very people on the left who claim that that's a scare tactic, that that's a lie, that there's no truth to it, it's a red herring, are the same people who support it and justify it when he turns out, or whomever it is, turns out to be correct. They never ever say, gosh, we were wrong. They never ever say, we miscalculated, you were right. They just justify it. And a perfect illustration of this is COVID. You know, the people that said they're going to require you to get masks, they're going to require this. No, they won't. It got to the point, even the Biden administration just months ago had to go out there claiming we will never force people to get vaccinated. Fauci said it. Psaki said it. Biden said it. Pelosi said it. Say we would never want to do that. We couldn't even do it if we wanted to. And that's because there were those of us that were saying, trust us. If they recognize people will comply with a mask mandate, then they will require this. And when they require this and they see people give, then they will require this. So forth, and so forth. And all along, people on the left, including the media, said those are scare tactics. You're being hysterical. It's not true. They won't do that because this isn't about power. And then when they all come out and say, oh yeah, never mind, we are going to do those things. The very people who told you you were out of your mind and trying to scare people with false claims are the people who now support the very thing that they claimed would never happen. Incidentally, remember that Jerome Adams, do you recognize that name? You probably don't. Jerome Adams was the Surgeon General during the Trump administration. I always found his place in the entire COVID coverage and I hate to use conversation, but I will, to be an odd one. I don't know why. It never seemed like he was really part of. He'd pop up every once in a while and he would give interviews, but I don't know. It just seemed like he was a satellite of the administration somehow. He was on with Chris Cuomo because that guy is still allowed to have a show. And he has claimed that the reason that Colin Powell died of COVID complications is because of people who refuse to get vaccinated. He said, the fact is that General Powell died because we didn't take the proper measures to lower the spread in this country. We didn't do everything we could. He's talking about people who, you know, in the context of people who wouldn't get vaccinated. He noted that he got vaccinated, but it proves we can't just say we're only going to protect the vulnerable. We're only going to worry about those people getting vaccinated and everybody else doesn't matter. He added, please hear me for the sake of General Powell. So not your own self, but for Powell's sake. And everyone else out there who is vulnerable and who is doing the right thing, please consider getting your vaccine if you haven't yet. Now, of course, I know what you're all thinking because you're logical thinkers. It is the contradiction of telling us that unvaccinated people are the reason a vaccinated person died from something that the vaccine is supposed to stop you from dying from. The entire basis for the argument defeats the purpose of the argument. You can't on one hand say, if you get the vaccine, this is going to stop, in the context of a person who died who had the vaccine. It defies every bit of logic imaginable. 16,000 COVID-19 positive migrants released into the U.S. See, again, so we live in a country where if you are unvaccinated, you are responsible for the murder of the beloved Colin Powell. But a government that releases 16,000 COVID-19 positive migrants into the U.S., well, that's no big deal. I mean, they're not going to spread it around, don't you understand? And in a sign that the left continues to try to improve the great utopia that they have turned New York into, the police department in New York, NYPD, gave in last week after orders from Albany and told officers to let drug addicts shoot up on the streets and share needles out in public. So New York, a city that will deny you service, deny you a meal if you don't wear a mask, but you can shoot up heroin and share needles in the streets. Glenn Beck's coming up next. I'm Nick Reed.